This WBEZ podcast is supported by Wise, the app for international people using money around the globe. With the Wise account, you can send, spend, and receive in up to 40 currencies with only a few simple taps. Download the Wise app today or visit wise.com. Terms and conditions apply. Be smart. Get Wise.
Good afternoon. I'm Lisa Labas, and this is The Rundown. Chicago Bears will pick 25th tonight. It's the opening round of the NFL draft. The war room will operate a little differently this year for the Bears because of their new assistant general manager, Jeff King. King has been with the Bears since 2015. He was promoted into the role this offseason after Ian Cunningham left to become general manager of the Atlanta Falcons. King says he's excited for the opportunity to have a bigger role building the Bears.
I think it's one of the best football cities that you can be in when you're winning, and that's our charge to keep it there. But that doesn't come easy. We have to reset, we have to restock, and we're going to have to start over.
The Bears will have six more picks on Friday and Saturday. Several parents and community members are not happy with plans to celebrate May Day at Chicago Public Schools. The district will be in session, but it will be a day of civic action and engagement. Hundreds of students are expected to take part in rallies and other events. Parent Judy Velez spoke before today's board meeting.
Chicago students are struggling academically. Families are worried about reading, writing, math scores, safety, absenteeism, the quality of education. But instead, this board is allowing time and resources to be diverted to political agendas.
Many board members pushed back, saying participation is optional, and they argue honoring workers' rights is appropriate, especially with the federal attacks on many communities. The city of Chicago continues to explore what reparations might look like for Black Chicagoans. The task force Repair Chicago hosted a citywide town hall yesterday to get feedback on its definition of reparations. Residents also shared some different forms of restitution they want considered. Task force co-chair Vitras Boyce says in conversations on the matter, people often think about money and land, but they forget about law.
A lot of people think reparations is simply a check, but there are so many legislative laws that are racially profiled that can change the narrative for Blacks on an economic level. It's beyond a paycheck.
Residents shared interest in cash, grocery stores and food deserts, and property tax relief for Black Chicagoans. Repair Chicago intends to take feedback from surveys, town halls and hearings and develop a reparations study report in May or June. And the beloved novel, The House on Mango Street, is being reimagined as a ballet. The story by Sandra Cisneros follows Esperanza, a Puerto Rican girl growing up on Chicago's West Side. She navigates what it means to grow up between Mexican and American cultures. Juliana Rubio Slager is the artistic director for Ballet 5-8. This is the dance company behind the stage adaptation. And Rubio Slager tells our In the Loop program how she translated the story into movement.
We're taking more of like the overarching themes of a chapter, like the love of a mother and a daughter, or feeling othered and feeling like you're not accepted by your neighborhood, and taking those big themes and then creating this physicalization that people can understand even without words.
The show will debut at Logan Center for the Arts on May 8th. You're listening to The Rundown. Chicago has been getting a lot of rain this spring. Streets have flooded, water has seeped into people's basements, and partly because of climate change. Now, this is all expected to get a lot worse. The likelihood of heavy rainstorms has increased sevenfold in Chicago over the past century, and our sewer system can't handle the increase. Chicago Sun-Times reporter Brett Chase has been digging into the solutions to help reduce flooding. He talked with my colleague Claire Lane about what he found.
You've been reporting on how flooding in the city has been getting worse. There was a lot of fanfare around the costly deep tunnel project that was touted as a solution to this. Just describe a little bit what engineers hope that deep tunnel would do and why flooding is still happening.
Yes, deep tunnel is 50 years in the making. It's a massive tunnel system underground in Chicago that just pours billions of gallons of water out into reservoirs located in the suburbs. It, you know, was intended to reduce the old-fashioned way of preventing flooding of homes by just pouring the sewer water into the Chicago River. The problem is the system gets overwhelmed. At the local level, our streets and sewers are designed to hold about 2 inches of rain over a 24-hour period. We have been seeing storms that are dropping more than 8.5 inches over a 24-hour period. That water doesn't even have a chance to get from your local sewer to the deep tunnel.
And climate change, intensifying rainfall, we've been seeing pouring rain last couple of weeks, and it's also increasing the need for more solutions for flooding.
That's right. That's what the experts acknowledge. And I recently talked to Richard Fisher, the former engineer at Stormwater Manager, Metropolitan Water Reclamation District, who explains.
You know, as our environment has become warmer, there's actually more humidity in the air. There's more water in air. So because of the warmth and more humidity, we are getting more intense rainfall events.
That problem is only going to be compounded because state researchers say that the intense rain will get more severe in the next 25 years. They're predicting as much as another inch on top of these 8.5-inch storms. That's going to mean hundreds of millions of dollars in damage and many more homes affected.
And it's also important to note that climate change and flooding, it isn't affecting all neighborhoods, all basements, we should say, equally. Can you give us a sense of which communities are being hit the hardest right now?
Sure. And it's absolutely true that all communities are at risk. But some of the most historic storms have been dumping record amounts of rain in west and south sides of Chicago. These are communities of color. The infrastructure in some of these communities just needs to be upgraded.
And you've met with members of people in these communities who have dealt with their homes flooding and this expensive cleanup that's required afterwards. I mean, people don't want to be standing with water up to their knees. So what are some of the stories that really stood out to you?
I've talked to at least a dozen flood survivors, and I'm continuing to talk to more. But I spoke to Felicia Minley from the city's South Deering neighborhood and Michael Wilson from Auburn Gresham. They recalled flooding events that happened within the last year.
The water that came through came up through the drain that's in the laundry room, and it kept coming up.
Close to 2 feet of water in the basement, did a lot of damage, left a lot of soot and very rotten smell. So I knew it was definitely coming from the sewer lines.
This is what we call urban flooding. Your flooding is not coming from a river, other body of water. It's coming up through your basement drains. This is raw sewage. And what's left behind these events is mold and is quite the health hazard, actually. Here's Dorothy Rosenthal from West Garfield Park.
I had 4 feet of water. After the water receded, everything was lost. All the appliances, my heating system that was a year old, all my children's memorabilia. And when it was finally gone, it left big black patches of mold.
Dorothy had a lot of mold, had to wait, you know, close to 3 years to get this removed. It's important to understand that private insurance generally doesn't cover this kind of damage, and federal aid can be delayed significantly.
Now, there are things that can be done to help prevent flooding. Brett, you spoke about that with Richard Fisher, who you mentioned. He's led almost 300 different flood control projects. And he told you that the district is now looking at some green solutions to help flooding. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, there's been some form of green solutions, you know, throughout history, but this is a real emphasis right now. And I visited a plot of land that's owned by the Forest Preserves of Cook County in South Suburban Glenwood.
It's kind of a old prairie-looking area. You have some open fields and some tree lines in here, too.
This plot's about 800 acres, and Fisher told me he hopes it can be developed into wetlands to reduce flooding. We're basically creating a big bowl to collect this water and spare flooding in at least 7 or 8 different communities in the south suburbs, which just get pounded by flooding.
Basically, what you're doing is you're taking water and holding it there for a period of time until the flood event goes away. Then we're releasing this water like after the flooding is gone. So it's basically flooding here and not someplace downstream.
Now, these proposed fixes are not cheap. I mean, this is estimated to be $300 million, but it would help about 3,000 homes from Calmet City to Dalton to Ford Heights. Now, this is not green lit at this point. They're doing an assessment to see if it's even feasible. And it won't work everywhere. We don't have 800 acres in Austin or North Lawndale or the other communities have been hit hard, but it is part of the equation.
All of this has got me thinking, what do I need to do or what can I do to ensure that my home or my neighborhood doesn't flood? Brett, can you tell us a little bit about maybe some tips you came across in your reporting for people to keep in mind to reduce flooding?
You know, just like we recycle and we compost, we can all do our part to help your community not flood as badly. That includes that downspout from your gutter. If it's going straight into the ground, cut it off, put an extension on it, and lead that water to a, you know, landscaping. Likewise, there's another option with rain barrels. We're just trying to stop the flow of water into our sewers, which are coming back up into our neighbors or your very own basement.
I've been speaking with Sun-Times reporter Brett Chase about flooding solutions in Chicago. Brett, thank you.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Weather sunny and a very warm day, high in the low 80s. Tonight cloudy, some showers and thunderstorms, a low in the low 60s, and more rain on Friday with a high in the low 70s. You can find the latest news whenever you want at WBEZ.org or on your radio at 91.5 FM. I'm Lisa Labus. Thank you for listening.